Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Samach Aleph. We left off on Daf Samach Amid Beis. I think we left off two lines from the end of the page. Bishlam Alamad Yamar Lemakli. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom. Also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, and they should remain safe and return home safely. And also by Simeon Moshe Kleinman, Lizchusur for Shalema, for Rafal Moshe Elimelech ben Basha, Shavur for Shalema, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is, first we're going to pick up on the discussion that we started yesterday, which was trying to figure out exactly what was the question that David HaMelech was bothered by, that David HaMelech was asking. And we had yesterday three opinions about what exactly David HaMelech was asking. And today we're going to have, we already went through one, but we're going to have four more challenges to one of the opinions, or rayas, to which opinion is correct in terms of what exactly the shaila was that David HaMelech was asking. Then we're going to see in the Mishnah on Amud Aleph the type of barrier that could have been expected to contain a fire, and therefore your putter if it didn't contain the fire, because you reasonably could have expected that such a barrier would contain a fire. And the Gemara is going to give details about a fire that jumps over a four-amah fence, or a fire that jumps a derech harabim, in what circumstances you're going to be potter. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to have machlokas about what type of river the fire is not expected to pass over. Then in the Mishnah, on the top of Amud Beis, we're going to have four different opinions about how far a fire is expected to travel in terms of distance, without any barriers, meaning to what extent you're going to be chayiv if the fire travels a great distance. The next Mishnah is then going to talk about a machlokas about tamun be'esh, a machlokas we've already seen several times, whether one is chayiv for tamun be'esh, and the application of kamlei bidurab aminei. The Gemara is going to have two possible limitations on the ptur of tamun be'esh, the idea that your potter, if your fire burns that which is hidden. So we're going to have two possible limitations on that ptur, leman diyomer, that you're actually potter on tamun be'esh. So let's begin again two lines from the end of the page on daf Samach Amud Beis, and we're in the middle of the discussion relating to the shaila that David HaMelech asked. But let's just recall that there were three opinions as to what shaila it was that David HaMelech was asking. One opinion was, Rava Amar Rav Nachman said that Tamun Be'esh coming by Elay, that he was asking whether he's chayiv on Tamun Be'esh, whether we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanan, that which he burnt and was hidden inside a pile of hay or something, are you chayiv for those items that were hidden? Second possibility of what he was asking was, Mahu lahatzil atzmo b'mamun chavero, am I allowed to save my own life with someone else's money? So we had a machlokas, Rashi and Tosos, what exactly he meant by that. Did he mean, am I allowed to use someone else's money to save my life, or must I die? Or did he mean, of course I'm allowed to use someone else's money to save my life, but do I then have to pay for it afterwards? Those are the shittos of Rashi and Tosos respectively. And then the third opinion was that he wanted to know if he could take the Gedishin Shel Sorin di Yisrael, steal the Gedishin Shel Sorin di Yisrael, to give it to his behemos, Almanas, to pay back with Gedishin Shel Adashim, to Plishtim, by giving back something that belongs to the Plishtim. So that's the third possibility. So the Gemara is just going to go through questions on some of these possibilities. So we already had one question yesterday, so now we're two lines from the bottom of the page. Bishlam Alamandi Amar Lemakli, I understand very well, according to the second of the three explanations, that it was all about burning the tavua, that he wanted to burn the tavua in order to find his enemies. Haynu d'chsiv, that's why the pasuk says that he didn't allow them to burn the tavua because it's asala hatzlatzmo b'mamun chavero. But if you hold like the third possibility, that it was all the shaila about switching the grain, that I'll give him the Jewish grain and I'll pay back the Jewish people with the Plishtim's grain, my ve'atzileha. What does it mean ve'atzileha? There was never a plan for any ibud to lo shavaklu lachlufe. So the Gemara answers, no, that's simply that he didn't give them the right to switch one for the other. because and that's what it means latzileha, that they didn't do this switch. Now again, the way Rashi understands means that he didn't allow saving himself with mamun chaveru, that it's asr lahatzil atzmo b'mamun chaveru. That's the sheet of the Ravid as well, that you're not always allowed to use someone else's money in order to save your own life. There's a major discussion in the Achronim about that. Do we paskin that way? Does Rashi really hold that way, that this is Yaharig Val Yavar, that to take someone else's money to save your life, you have to die rather than do such a thing? So some of the Achronim say Rashi doesn't really hold that way la halacha. Rashi's teaching a Gemara. There are three different interpretations of what David HaMelech's question was. So within this interpretation, that's what his question was. But who says that we even paskin like this interpretation? So that's on one extreme, is that perhaps even Rashi doesn't hold what Rashi seems to hold. On the other extreme, one could argue that Rashi absolutely does hold it, and maybe even other Rishonim would hold it. Where this comes up in halacha is when it comes to the shaila that all the Achronim deal with, is about taking parts of a dead body to save the life of someone else for pikuach nefesh. So you have a kidney from a cadaver that could save the life of a living person. So in the Tshuvas Nedeb Yehuda and the Tshuvas Chassam Sofer, they say, of course you're allowed to do that. The person is going to die. It's pikuach nefesh. So yes, there's an issur called nivla meis, and you're not allowed to start dissecting dead bodies, but the issur of nivla meis is a regular issur in the Torah. It's not docha pikuach nefesh. It's not avod zar gila raya shichus damin. So you're allowed to do that. However, in Tshuvas Binyan Zion, he has a number of tshuvas, and he writes based on Rashi in our sugya that you're not allowed to steal mamon chaveru in order to save yourself from misa. So he says, if you're not allowed to steal mamon chaveru to save yourself from misa, certainly you're not allowed to steal kavod chaveru in order to save yourself from misa. And it's a terrible bizayon to the mace to be dissected. So how could it be that for the bikuach nefesh of the chola you're going to be able to be mevaza and menavel this mace that mestame is not mochal on the bizayon? And then he goes a step further and he says, and even according to Tosfos, even according to the Rishonim, that if you pay for the gzela afterwards, it's going to be mutter. But he says, that, how are you going to pay for this gzela afterwards? There's no way to pay for this gzela. You're taking from the bizayon of the body. There's no way to pay back that bizayon. And he says, bishlama, you can come to a matzal atzma b'mam l'chavero. There's a svara that it's mutter because the nigzal himself is chayef to be matzal you. Meaning, if the nigzal was given the choice, he has money that can save you, he'd be obligated to save you. But when he's dead, he doesn't have any obligation to save you. He's patur from mitzvos, so he has no such obligation. So the Binyan Zion, largely based on Rashi, but then even going further than that and saying, and even according to Tosfos, says that you're not allowed to take any part of a dead body in order to save a life. So the general consensus among the poskim is not like the Binyan Zion, that if there's pikuach nefesh, you are allowed to take something from a dead body in order to save a life. But the general consensus of the poskim is that's only when there's a chola b'faneinu, when there's someone right in front of us who needs this and who's going to die. But to have prospectively to start thinking, who knows, maybe a chola is going to come into the hospital an hour from now, maybe there will be a car accident, maybe there will be this. So that we don't do. We don't start ripping apart dead bodies because as Milchus Yisrael points out, by the same token, you could be grinding medicine all day on Shabbos because you never know, there might be a chola that will need it. You end up being mechal Shabbos for everything because you never know. We don't do that. It's only when it's a chola b'faneinu. Okay, so says Gemara further. Now, Bishlamani Tarti, I understand very well according to the second of the three explanations of what David HaMelech's shaila was, whether he's allowed to burn down the Plishti fields, the Jewish fields rather, in order to find the Plishtim, and according to the third explanation, where Shaila was he allowed to switch it out, switch out the grain, take the Jewish grain and pay back with Plishti grain. That's why there are two psukim, one in Divrei Hayamim that describes a field of Sa'orim, and one in Sefer Shmuel that describes a field of Adashin. They're describing the same event, and yet one describes it. That's how Divrei Hayamim works. That's the big challenge with learning Divrei Hayamim, is that everything is either redundant or astira, because it's always repeating things that came up in Nevi'im Rishonim. So either it just says the same thing that we already had in the earlier Nevi'im, or it says something slightly off. So this is one of those cases of astira, where it describes Adashim, whereas in Sefer Shmuel it described Adashim. So according to these two opinions of what David HaMelech's question was, I get it. Because if he was asking whether I'm allowed to burn down the field, maybe he asked about a Sa'orim field and he asked about an Adashim field. And there's Tosfos points out that it's worthwhile asking about each of them because Sa'orim are not so chashuv and Adashim are more chashuv. So maybe you're only allowed to burn one, not the other. And if it was about being machlif one with the other, then you certainly understand how there were two fields involved. There was a Sa'orim field and there was an Adashim field. But if his shayla was about Taman Be'esh, why do I need these psukim? The pasuk that there was a field of Adashim and the pasuk that there was a field of Sa'orim. Either way, it's the same shayla, is that if something is hidden, am I chayiv for burning that which was hidden? So he could answer you, Taman that even the first shita that says that the shayla was about Taman Be'esh does not think that that was David HaMelech's only shayla. One of David HaMelech's shaylas was about Taman Be'esh, and he also had a second shayla about one of the other two things. And that's why I have two psukim, one in Sefer Shmuel and one in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, to allude to the fact that he actually asked two shaylas. He asked a shayla about Taman Be'esh, and then he asked a shayla either about Ma'alatz Latzim and Mamun Chaverov or about being machlif. Now, fourth challenge, Bishlam Laman Yamar Hani Tarti, I understand very well according to interpretations number 2 and 3 of David HaMelech Shaila. Hainu Dixiv, that's why the Pasuk says, V'lo Ava David L'shtosam, that he didn't want to be Mekil on the matter, that even though they brought him back a Psak, Lekula, he was not willing to accept that Psak. He didn't want to be Mekil. Amar Kimendiki Yisur Lo Nichli, since there's an Isser B'davar, I don't want to be Mekil on it, even though I'm a Melech, meaning the response was, according to the first two interpretations, was that it's really Usher, but you're a king, so for you we're going to be Mekel. And he said, I don't want to be Mekel just because I'm a king. I want to be treated with the same rules of, I want to be Machmir, like the same rules of everybody else. But if the Shaila was about Taman Be'esh, that's no different for a king than for anyone else. The suffix was whether you chayv for Taman Be'esh. They just sent him a psak halacha. Why would he want to be machmir on Taman Be'esh if there's no reason to be machmir on Taman Be'esh? So answers the Gemara, no, it doesn't mean that he wouldn't accept the psak. It means that he didn't say this halacha in the name of the Giborim who went to ask the Sanhedrin for the psak. Amar, because he said, Kach mukublani mi beis dino shel Shmuel haRamasi, that I have a Kabbalah from the basin of Shmuel HaNavi, that kalamoser atzmo lamos al divrei Torah, enom davar halacha mishmo, that someone who puts his life at risk in order to be able to secure psak halacha, that's not proper. And therefore, we shouldn't say dvar halacha mishmo, we shouldn't give him glory, because it's going to encourage other people to do the same thing. And people have to realize, pikuach nefesh is more important than getting a particular psak halacha, than going and finding those divrei Torah. Aye, but they were going to do a mitzvah to receive a psak. The Marsha points out, shluchim mitzvah in nizakin, so shouldn't we say that it wasn't pikuach nefesh, because they knew nothing was going to happen to them because they were shluchim mitzvah? So the answer is no, says the Marsha, that the Gemara says, psachim heichad d'shchiach hazeka shiny, that when it's a very dangerous thing, we do not apply the principle of shluchim mitzvah. So that's why David HaMelech thought they did the wrong thing, and he didn't want to quote the psak in their name. So says Gemara, Vayasech Hashem LaHashem. So the pasuk says, Vayasech Hashem LaHashem. So in the hemshech of the pasuk, so Bishlam Laman Yamarani Tarti, I understand according to the second and the third interpretations of what David HaMelech's shaila was, he didn't want to be somich to be mekil on himself, even though he was a melech. Rather, he was machmir because it would be usher for other people to do that. So we call that he was nisech the mayim LaHashem. Remember, the whole thing was a mushel of water that they brought him water, and he didn't want to drink it, but it wasn't really about water, it was about one of these three things. So the pasuk describes that he was menasech the mayim LaHashem. When it describes that, it means that he was trying to be machmir on himself as if he were a regular citizen. Mishum David l'shem shemayim. What does it mean menasech mayim LaHashem? That he was doing l'shem shemayim. Elamandi amr tamen be'esh may v'yasech l'shem LaHashem. But if the whole thing was about whether he's chayiv on tamen be'esh, what does it mean v'yasech l'shem LaHashem? So it says Gemara, Damrinu Mishma de Gemara. It means that when he said this halacha, he said it b'stam, and not in the name of the Giborim. He just said it in the name of the Mishma de Gemara. Just means he said it b'stam, because they should not not have been Moser Nefesh for it. And that's what the pasuk means when it says that he was Menasech LaHashem, that he didn't want to say it in the name of a Basar Adam, in the name of any given Chacham, because he didn't want to give them credit for this Psak Halacha. Okay, so now we move on to the Mishnah. Andaf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah tells us, Avar Geder Shu Gavar Arba Amos, if your fire jumps over a fence that's 4 Amos tall and it continues to do damage on the other side of the fence, oh Derech Harabim, or it passes over a Derech Harabim, which is a road that is 16 Amos wide, oh Nahar, or it passes over a river and it damages on the other side of the river, Pater. You can reasonably expect a 4 Amos fence, a Derech Harabim, and a Nahar to prevent the fire from traveling any further, to be a proper barrier in front of the fire. And if it therefore wasn't a proper barrier and the barrier continued to travel, you're going to be Pater for paying for those damages. So the Mishnah said that if it goes over a geder that's arba amos, so frek the Gemara v'atanya, but we have a brisa that says otherwise. That our Mishnah said if it goes over a geder that's arba amos, you're potter. But the brisa says over geder shu gava arba amos chayiv, that if it goes over a geder that's dalet amos, you're going to be chayiv. So how could the Mishnah say that you're going to be potter? Just for those grammarians out there, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out geder shahu gavoa. Shahu implies that the word geder is lashon zachar, but he says really that's not correct grammar. The Tanayim didn't get it right over here. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the word geder is really lashon keva, and it should be geder shehi gavoa. So okay, fine. So the Tosfos writes over here in Dibra Maskel V'Atanya that when the Gemara is asking from this Brisa, it must be that the Gemara has the Girsa that we have, that over Geder Shu Gavoa Arba Amos, both in the Mishnah and in the Brisa. And the only difference is the Mishnah said Pater, the Brisa said Chayef. The alternate Girsa would have been Geder Ad Shu Gavoa Ad Arba Amos. That's up until Dalet Amos. So he said, no, that we definitely don't have that girsa in the Mishnah and the Braisa, that it's Ad Arba Amos, because if that were the case, we never would have asked the Stira. The answer that the Gemara is going to provide to the Stira would have been obvious if the girsa was Ad, meaning the answer would obviously be that, yes, up until Dalet Amos, you're Chayiv, and up until Dalet Amos, you're Pater. The question is, where's your starting point? Are you saying from the ground up until Dalet Amos? So anything less than Dalet Amos? So up until anything less than Dalet Amos, you're going to be Chayiv. That would be the Braisa. Up until Dalet Amos, you're going to be Pater. Means if you're starting from above Dalet Amos, if you have a fence that's 10 Amos, 9 Amos, 8 Amos, up until Dalet Amos is a sufficient fence to be Pater. So if you had the Girsa of Ad, the Gemara never would have even asked the Shailet. Obviously, they never would have asked the Stira. The answer would have been too obvious. It must be that our Girsa is correct, that we don't have the word Ad. So the Gemara answers, Amar Papa, Tana Didan, Kachash, Mi Lamaila, Lamata, the Tana in the Mishnah, which said that your Pater, if your fire jumps a fence that's Dalet Amos, is talking about a fence that's Dalet Amos or more, Sheish Amos Pater, Chamesh Amos Pater, Ad Arba Amos Pater, that 6 Amos is Pater, 5 Amos Pater, all the way up until 4 Amos is Pater, whereas Tanabra, the Tana of the Braisa, Milamata, the Maila Kachashiv, is talking about fences that are smaller than 4 Amos, that Shtei Amos Chayiv, Shalosh Amos Chayiv, Ad Arba Amos Chayiv, up until Dalet Amos, you're going to be Chayiv. So everyone would agree that if it passes through over a geder that's 4 Amos, you're going to be Pater. When it says that you're Chayiv, it means that that less than 4 Amos, up until Ad Velo Ad Bechlal, up until the height of 4 Amos. So now the Gemara discusses Amar Rava Arba Amos Sha'amru De Pater. When we say in our Mishnah that if the fire jumps a fence, it's 4 Amos that you're going to be Pater, Afilu Besad Kotzim. That's even if the field has a very flammable material in it. It has dry thorns where it's very flammable. It's very easy for the fire to catch hold of that. That even in such a case, you're going to be Pater. Amrav Papa, Misfas Kotzim L'mayla Arba Amos. Misfas Kotzim L'mayla Arba Amos. You're only Pater if there's 4 Amos of fence above the level of the Kotzim. It can't be that you have 2 Amos high of Kotzim and then only 2 Amos more of fence above that. If it's really going to serve as a proper barrier, you need 4 Amos of fence above the level of where the kotzim are. The pashtus in the Gemara, the way most Rishonim learn, is the state kotzim is the field on the other side of the fence, not the field where the fire started. Some of the Rishonim learn that it's talking about the field where the fire started, because if it's very flammable material where the fire started, so then the fire is probably raging and it's more likely that it's going to be able to go over a fence that's dalet amos. So then further the Gemara says, Amar Rav lo shanu ela bikolachas. Then when the Mishnah says you're potter on a fire that passes over a fence that's dalet amos, that's only if the fire is going upward. Avul bin chvefes, but if the fire is traveling, it's bent over and it's sort of traveling horizontally, right? So then afilu ad mea ama, then even up to 100 amos, chayiv, you're going to be chayiv. Shmuel amar masnisin bin chvefes, and Shmuel says, no, the Mishnah's dafka talking about a fire that's bending and traveling in that way. Avul b'kolachas, if it's just flames that are shooting up, afilu kol shu pater, then any type of fence should be good enough to protect and to prevent the fire from spreading. Tanya kavase drav. So we have a brisa that supports Rav. That pamed varma murim, the brisa says, when do we say that if it goes through derech harabim, that's 16 amos, that you're going to be potter? That's bikolachas. That's only if the fire is going in an upward motion. Aval bin chvefes, but if it's traveling along the ground and bending, in along the ground, and there's where there's always going to be eitzim along the karka to continue the fire to catch onto. Afilu al mei mil chayiv, even if it goes not only over derech harabim, which is 16 amos, even if it goes 100 mil, you're going to be chayiv. Over nahar oshlul l'shem rechavim shmona amos. Potter, if it goes over a river or a shlulis, which we'll get to in a moment what a shlulis is exactly, but some type of body of water that's 8 amos wide, then you're going to be potter. So you see in the Brisa that the second din of our Mishnah, that Avra Derech HaRabim potter, is talking about kolachas. So just like that din is talking about kolachas, so it must be the first din of the Mishnah of it going over a fence that's dalet amos is also talking about kolachas. So that's the sheet of Rav. So again, Rav said that when we give this year of offensive dalet amos being expected to prevent the fire from going beyond, that's only if the fire is raging upwards, not if the fire is going in that direction. The raya to Rav was from a brisa that spoke about the next halacha in the Mishnah, that we expected derech harabim to prevent the fire from traveling beyond that point, and the brisa said explicitly that that's talking about a fire that's kolachas, that's going in an upward motion, and not a fire that's traveling. So we could reasonably assume that if the brisa says that that's what the type of fire the second halacha in the Mishnah is talking about, that it's also the type of fire the first halacha in the Mishnah is talking about. Then we said derech harabim. We said in the Mishnah that if it goes over a derech harabim and damages, you're going to be potter. So man tano, who is the tano that holds that even if it goes over a derech harabim, you're going to be a potter, that even if that's all it travels is the derech harabim, just 16 amos, that's enough that you're going to be potter? Amarav Rabbi Eliezer, it's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, ditnan, because we're going to have a Mishnah on the base that has four different sheetos about the distance a fire is expected to travel, and Rabbi Eliezer omer shesh esrei amos kederech rishus harabim, that Rabbi Eliezer says only 16 amos kederech rishus harabim, are you going to be potter? Whereas Rabbi Kiva says that it's 50 amos, and Rabbi Shimon says that there's no shear for it. It's based on the size of the fire. So it turns out that our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, assuming like Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore what? Meaning, does that mean we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? We never paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Shemutehu. So that's what the Rashba points out. No, it does not mean we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. If you have a machlokas v'acharkach stam, you have an earlier Mishnah that has a machlokas and then a later Mishnah that goes stam like one opinion. So then, yeah, then we paskin like the Stam Mishnah. But when you have a stam v'acharkach machlokas, if the earlier Mishnah is a stam and then a later Mishnah introduces us to machlokas, then we do not paskin like the stam. So this is an example of stam v'acharkach machlokas. So we do not paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. The pashtus is that it's only that Rabbi Shimon only disagrees with our Mishnah in terms of the shear rochav, and he holds that there's no shear of 16 amos. It's hakol lefi adleika. But as far as the shear gova, as far as how high a fence is expected to contain a fire, Rabbi Shimon doesn't disagree with that, meaning the whole machlokas we're going to have on Amud Beis is about the distance a fire is expected to travel, but not about how high a fence is expected to contain a fire. And the pashtus is everyone agrees it's a 4 amah fence that's expected to contain
remain a fire. However, the Rush learns Shitas HaRif, that the Rif thinks that Rabbi Shimon says HaKalif Yadleika applies to everything. Not only the distance the fire is expected to travel, but the height of the fence that's expected to contain the fire. And he says, and that's why the Rif doesn't make any of these chilukim between kolachas and nechvefes. Because there's no point in any of these chilukim unless you hold that there's such a thing as a shear of a fence that's dalet amos. But if Rabbi Shimon rejects that, and we passim like Rabbi Shimon, like the Rif does, then there's no magic to dalet amos. It really just depends on the size of the fire. Hakol afi adleika. Okay, so now we had said in the Mishnah, oh no, that if it passes over a river, you're putter. So the Gemara has a machlokas. Rav Amar Nar Mamish. When it says you're putter, if it passes over a river, it means a real river. Shmuel Amar Arisa Didalai. It means a small body of water that they draw water from to water the fields. So Mandi Amar Nar Mamish, the one that says that it's an actual river, Afal Gavdaleka Maya, would say that even if the river doesn't have any water in it right now, it has dried up. Since it's a wide area like a Derech HaRabim, so you're going to be potter, even though it's not quite as wide as a Derech HaRabim, right? The shear is not 16 amos. The shear of a river is only 8 amos. But Tosfos points out that since a river also has depth to it, and also the ground is probably moist because it used to have water in it, and at any given moment water might start flowing there again, so that's why it's less of a shear than a Derech HaRabim. Uman Diyamar, but Shmuel who said that Arisa de Dalai, that the river we're talking about is this little thing that you draw water from to water the fields, Iyespe Maya in, Avalespe Maya lo, it would actually need to have water in order to be something that's expected to serve as a barrier to prevent a fire from traveling. So the Gemara brings a sugya about from Maseches Peah that relates to how we determine whether something is one field or more than one field. The halach is by Peah, they have to leave off a corner of each field that you own for the aniyim to take. What if I own a large expanse of land? What is that all called one field? How do I know what sort of physical barriers would need to exist between the fields to determine whether it's one field or not? The halachos we're about to learn have absolutely nothing to do with the halachos of Eish. The reason we're going to mention this din about Peah is because we had mentioned a body of water called a shalulis. And in Maseches Peah, we're going to define what exactly shalulis is. So that's why we're bringing this in. So Tanan Asam, we learn in the second paragraph of Maseches Peah about leaving Peah from each field, the elu mafsik in the Peah, that the following barriers would be enough of a barrier to make something to break between two fields so that you're chayiv to leave a Peah from each field. Hanachal v'hashalulis v'derech hayachid v'derech harabim. That any of those things that pass through a field is going to break up the field into two. My shalulis, what is a shalulis? It's a place where rainwater collects. Rav Bibi Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Amas Hamayim Shemechalek Shalol Lag Peha. It's an Amas Hamayim. It's a waterway that gives off water to the surrounding areas. You're able to water the neighboring fields with the water that comes through here. So Manti Amar Makom Shemegisham Shalol and Sham. If it's basically a puddle, meaning it's where the rainwater collects, so in Kolshke Amas Hamayim. So certainly, if you have a more significant waterway between the fields, that certainly would be a barrier between the fields. Manti Amar Amas Hamayim. But if you hold that it's an Amas Hamayim, Av Makom Shegisham Shalol and Sham Lamafsiki, just a place where the rainwater collects, would not be sufficient to be mafsik between the fields. Dahanu Bagni Dara Mikru, those are just the natural crevices of the land, that there's going to be places where rainwater is going to puddle up a little more than it will in other places. That doesn't mean that it's separating between two separate fields. Okay, new Mishnah now. Hamadlik Patok Shalo Ad Kamatavar Adleika. So this is the Mishnah we referred to earlier, that if you're lighting a fire in your own property, how far can you reasonably assume the fire will travel, and beyond that it won't travel? So we can know that your potter, if it goes beyond expectation. So four opinions. Rav Elazar ben Azariah Omer Romano Sokilu Be'emtza Beis Kor. You have to view it as if you're smack in the middle of a base car. A base car is an area of land that's 274 amos by 274 amos. So you'd only be chayiv if you lit a fire right in the smack in the middle of such an area, if it went in each direction, if you went to the rest of the base car. But if you're marchik your fire more than that, meaning more than a half a base car, more than 137 amos, and then it goes beyond 137 amos, then you're going to be potter. Second opinion, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tesayin amos. Rabbi Eliezer says, Derech HaRabim, like we had in the last Mishnah. 16 amos, that's it. You could assume your fire is not going to go more than 16 amos. Kiderech, Rosh HaSarabim. Third opinion, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chamishim Amma, that it's 50 amos is the shear. And then Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalem Yishalem, Amav Yisabeira, Hakol, Afiyad Leika, that however far the fire goes, you're going to be chayv to pay for it, that sometimes it goes further, sometimes it doesn't travel as far. So says Gemara, V'lasay, Rabbi Shimon Shi'ura B'Taleika, does Rabbi Shimon not hold that there's a shear of how far a fire is expected to go and to damage? But I'll prove to you that Rabbi Shimon does hold that there's a shear for how far a fire is expected to damage, and if it goes beyond that, you're going to be potter. Vatanan, because we have a Mishnah in the second paragraph of Masechet Baba Basra, that lo yamid adam tanur b'toch habayis, elim kein yesh al gabo, gova arba amos, that a person is, if he lives on the ground floor and there's an apartment above him, he's not allowed to put a tanur in his house unless he leaves 4 amos of space, fire code. He's got to leave 4 amos of space above his tanur so that he doesn't burn the apartment above him. If a person lives in the top floor apartment, in the second floor apartment, he's got to be careful. Also, there's code for how high off the ground the tanur has to be so that it doesn't burn the floor underneath it, which is the ceiling of the apartment below. So, you have to have a non-flammable material that's 3 tvachim wide that serves as a base for the oven to stand on to protect from fire. Obviously, you need much more space over the fire than you do under the fire, because the heat rises, the fire obviously goes up, but that's the shear. Ubikira, and if you're talking about a smaller oven, what they call a kira, which is much smaller than a tanur, then tefach. Then you only need a tefach underneath it. You don't need 3 tvachim. The im hizik, what if you did all these things and your apartment was built up to code, everything was past fire inspection, but nevertheless, a fire broke out anyway, sometimes, even if everything was done properly. So in Hizik, Mishali Mashi Hizik, you're still going to have to pay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Nemru Shirin Alalu, Elishim Hizik, Patim Yilashalim. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the reason why we give you these rules is so that if you follow them, you're going to be Patr, that you have exactly how much distance you need to leave, and if you leave that distance, then you're going to be fine. So you see that it's Rabbi Shimon that says that there's an expectation of how far fire will travel, and if it goes beyond that distance, then you're potter. So how can Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah say that, oh, no, however far a fire goes, you're always going to be chayer for it? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Kalafi Gova Hadleika. Now, you can't give a shear of how far a fire is going to travel. It all depends on the height of the Dleika that you would you then assess how far it's going to go when it's a very tall fire, so it's going to go much, much further. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yudom Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Shimon, V'chein Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Shimon, meaning when you're dealing with Rabbi Shimon's shita essentially is however far the fire traveled when it's an open fire would be based on how big the fire was. So when you have a tanur, when you have a kira, we know how big fires are in a tanur and a kira. So you're only going to be chayev for as far as such a fire is expected to do. So that's why if it goes beyond that, you're going to be potter. But to just give a shear of 16 amos, 50 amos, it all depends on the fire. If you have a massive fire, it's going to go much further than that. If you have a smaller fire, it won't go as far as that. Okay, new Mishnah now. Hamadikas a kodesh vayu bo kelim vidolku. If you light a pile of wheat or barley on fire, and inside that pile of wheat there was kelim hidden in there, and they got burnt, Rabbi Yudomer mishali masha betocho, that you're not patur on those kelim. You have to pay for masha betocho as well. You have to pay for that which was tamun in the pile. The Chum marmim enu mishalim ela kodesh al chitin oshal saorin. The Chum say, no, you only have to pay for the wheat or for the saorin. So Shidu Wetzis points out in the name of the Ra'ah, isn't that obvious they have to pay for the chitin and the saorin? So he says, no, it's saying more than that. Not only do they have to pay for the chitin and the saorin, instead of paying for the expensive kelim that were inside the gadish, you'd have to pay for the chitin and saorin that would have taken that place where those kelim are. Meaning there was less chitin and saorin that you burnt than you thought you were burning. You thought the whole thing was chitin nesorin. Those kelim were taking up some space, so you don't have to pay for the kelim, but you do have to pay for the price of chitin nesorin had it been a pile entirely of chitin nesorin. Another halacha that seems unrelated: hayigedi kafaslo. If you have a gedi that's tied to the gadish, evet of evet samachlo, and you have an evet that's nearby the gadish, v'nisraf imon, those things get burnt along with the gadish. Chayiv, you have to pay for the gadish and for the gedi. You're not chayiv on the evet because the evet should have run away. That's his problem if he decided to stand around and get burnt to death. Evet kafaslo, but if an evet was tied there and he couldn't escape, ugedi samachlo, or there was a gedi that was nearby that was not tied down, v'nisraf imo, and the gedi and the evet got burnt, so then pater, you're going to be pater on the gadish and on the gedi because that's dine mamnas, and you're going to be chayiv on the evet because the rule is kamlei b'drabe minei, that since you murdered this evet, so you're chayiv for murdering the evet, and you only get the more severe of the two punishments. Now the halacha is, the Rashi points out, the Gemara in the Masech Ksubas Dav Lamed Dalet says that even if no one ever gave you hasra'a for killing the Eved, so you're not going to be Chayav Misa, you're still Patra on the Gadish, because even Chayav Misa Shogegin are Patra from Mamon, when you do a Chayav Misa, an Avera that's Chayav Misa Shogegin, together with the Chayav Mamon. So the Chayav on the Shreifas HaEved is what Patras you from the Chayav Mamon for the Gadish and for the Gedi. Now the Mishnah goes back to the previous discussion, where there was Machlok Shav Yudan the Chachamim about Taman Be'esh Umodim Chamim Rabbi Yehuda B'madlika Sabira. The Chachamim agreed Rabbi Yehuda that if you light a building on fire, Shemushan Kol Mashavetocha, that you do have to pay for the items that were inside that building. Shekein Derek Bnei Adam Laniach B'batim, because no one could say when he lights a building on fire, I thought it was empty. You know, a gadish that you assume is just a pile of hay, a pile of wheat, a pile of whatever. So you assume that's all it was. You don't anticipate that there were expensive things hidden in there. But if you light a building on fire, people live there. Of course there are things there. People have all their stuff there. So you're going to be chayiv for those things that are tamun inside of the batim, because it's obvious that there are things that are tamun that are tamun inside the batim. Says Gemara, Amrav Kana Machlokas. This Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Nachamim B'madlik B'toch Shelo V'holcha V'achla B'toch Shel Chavero. The whole machlokas, whether you're chayiv or pater on tamun be'esh, is if you light a fire in your own property and it goes in and damages somewhere else. Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv on this case tamun be'esh. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayiv on tamun be'esh. Rabban and patri, and the Rabban say you're pater. Aval b'maduk b'tok shel chavero. But if you light a fire b'tok shel chavero, then divrei hakol mishalim kol masha b'tocho. Then everyone's going to agree that you have to pay for everything that's inside of it, because you have no right to light a fire in your friend's rishus, and that's considered that you're mazik biyadayim. And if you're mazik biyadayim, then for sure you have to pay for everything that you were mazik, even that which was tamun. Tosfos explains that since the pasuk from where we learn the din of tamun says ki teitze eish, it sounds like the whole din of tamun is only if the fire started in your rishus and then went somewhere else. So Tosfos says a little different than Rashi. It's not about being mazik biyadayim. It's about just this exeris hakasav that there's a patur of tamun be'esh, and that pasuk is only when it's ki teitze eish, not when the eish started in the other person's property. Samele Rava says to Rav Kana, Ihachi, if you are correct that the patur tamun does not apply when you light in someone else's rishus, Adatani Seifa, when the Seifa wanted to say a case where the Chachamim agree you're chayiv in tamun, Modum Cham Rabbi Yehuda b'Madlik Asabir Shemshan Kol Nashem Tochsh Kein Darak Miladim Laniach B'Batim, the Seifa had to come up with the case. Oh, you light someone's house on fire. That's a case where everyone's going to agree you're chayiv on tamun. Well, why do you have to say that? You could keep the case about lighting a pile of wheat on fire and still have a case where the Chachamim are moda that you're going to be chayiv on tamun. Livlog listen b'dida. Keep the case the way it was. B'med var mamurim, when am I pater on tamun when I light a gadish on fire? That's only b'madik b'tosh lovol chava ochla b'tosh shel chavero. That's only when I light it in my property and it goes and travels to the other property. I'm madik b'tosh shel chavero. Divrei kol b'shalim kol mashayi b'tocho. But if I'm madik b'tosh shel chavero, then everyone's going to say that I'm going to be chayiv. So why don't we give that as the example of where the Chachamim are moda to Rabbi Yehuda? Ella amar Rava, so Rava disagrees, and he says betarti pligi, that there's two machlokas, there's a double machlokas. Pligi b'madlik b'tosh lo, v'al chavach b'tosh shel chaveru. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev atam beish, Rabbanan sarvi lo mechayev. That you're correct that there is a machlokas if you light in your own property and the fire travels, whether you're chayev on tamun beish or not. Pligi nami b'madlik b'shal chavero. There's also machlokes if you light the gadish shal chavero. In such a case, there's no gzeres hakasuf to patter you from tamid. Rabbi Yehuda sover mishalim kol masha betocho. Rabbi Yehuda says you pay whatever is inside of it. V'afilu arniki, even if it's something you would never expect to be inside of a gadish. For Rabbanan tzavri kelim shadarkam lahatmin begadish kigon morigin klei bakar hu demishalim, that you are chayiv on certain dvarim tumunim, things that can be expected to be inside of a gadish. But kelim shein darkam lahatmin begadish lo mishalim, but those things that you don't expect to be in the Gadish, you're not going to pay. And that's why the Tana in our Mishnah says that the Chamra Moda by a Bira, and it doesn't say the Chamra Moda by a Gadish itself in the case where you lit Bishal Chavero, because it's only in a Bira where it's the Derech to put anything in a home, in a building, where the Chamra are going to be Moda that you're going to be Chayiv on everything that you burnt. In a Gadish, you would already start having to say, oh, you're Chayiv on some things, not other things. So the only way to say the Halacha clearly of where the Chamra Moda that you're going to be Chayiv is if you're madlik a bira. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from Tanur Rabbanan on the bottom of the page. Everyone have a great day.